Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What was your reaction, the most important thing you heard from Caleb Williams saying last night after he was drafted by the Bears? Was it a perfect night for Williams, or was there something you would have changed?
You know, I thought it went pretty well. I thought it was cool. His folks both started crying. You know, he kept his composure, but his dad had tears rolling down his eyes, as you would if you saw something like that with your child. Just the fact that they had a plan on him being the number one pick and that it worked and all that. And I read the USA Today story yesterday about his high school career, and they're in COVID year. He winds up he went to this Gonzaga college prep school in Washington D.C. and he ended up going to Oklahoma and finishing up his final class while an early entry student at Oklahoma. So that's kind of cool that he's, you know, zooming from the football facility at Oklahoma to finish up his college career while he's already enrolled at Oklahoma. I thought that was a neat little thing. I like the way I tell you what. I mean, is it a perfect night? Should he have thanked this guy or that guy? I'm not going to pick it apart like that. I thought the vibe was fantastic. I think the Bears got themselves a really good player, and I think that he's totally committed to football, and that's really all that matters. All that matters now is that he gets to Chicago and he begins his work, and it's his life's work, and if he's serious about getting the titles and all the things he envisions for himself, that's going to come with putting your nose in the playbook, getting that thing down, and spending every waking moment lifting, hitting it, learning, getting better. You know, you got to have a little humility when you first go into the locker room. I know there are concerns about that. I wouldn't worry about it. I think he's going to be just fine.
Yeah, I really liked everything about last night. It was great. I loved his reaction to getting picked number one, getting picked by the Bears. If you think back, I know Justin Fields is out of here, but if you remember how awkward that was, he was almost like no reaction when he got picked by the Bears and like put the hat on, was like, okay, am I on TV right now? Okay. And then I loved his reaction to Rome Odunze. We got our guy.
Yes.
It's sneaking around, already being a prankster. It loved all
on
that.
On the Zoom. Yeah. That moment in
right.
the backstage.
Yeah, I loved all of that. I mean, I don't know if I would have changed anything. Nothing. It was absolutely perfect.
It depends on where you watched it, because there were different broadcasts. Yep. But he goes charging up to the stage. Like, he's walking quickly out to the stage. And they said, I think it was the ABC broadcast, and they said, he's just going to walk right down 94 to Chicago. Like, he had that look like he's on his way.
He's on his way, and he is on his way. The express lane back to respectability, I guess, if you're the Bears. I thought the one thing you're going to remember for me was that when he's walking on the stage, he lets out this primal yell.
Right.
And it's just so much excitement that overcame him. And I felt like in that moment you saw his raw enthusiasm for what's ahead of him, for joining the Bears. And I thought, made all this stuff about, well, he's reluctant. He's not reluctant. He's an eager participant. He's excited. And that primal yell was what every Bears fan was feeling. It's like, let's go. It's time. And it's been long enough, and he has arrived. So I think that was one of the moments. Also, you know, when he was interviewed, and these are things that you remember too, he said, what's the first thing you want to do? I want to learn all my teammates' names, and I want to and their families. And I think his consistent theme is that he wants to be a good teammate. He understands what it takes to be a good leader. This guy is easy to like, and Chicago will love him eventually if they don't already. You saw then, you know, NFL Network does, or I think it was NFL.com, put something on the Instagram account or the social media feed about his mom's testimony as he's wearing the earphones and he's hearing that, and you see him break down in tears again. These are emotional moments for the families. Mo, you said that the first reaction stuck with you about seeing his mom and dad. And I think Caleb Williams has a lot of depth, and I think he has a lot of range of emotions we're going to see, good and bad. And just enjoy the ride, because this is going to be so much fun. The fun is back in watching the Bears.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
The voice of Brad Biggs is here at 7 a.m. Biggs time. How do you anticipate Roma Dunze fitting into the Bears offense? And does a team that struggled passing the ball now have a nice problem on their hands in trying to figure out how to keep three quality receivers happy? How do they do that?
It's a good question. Shane Waldron has a great problem on his hands, and you worry if you tend to be a worrywart. I think people are. What happens if Keenan Allen only gets three targets in the first two games? What happens if DJ Moore doesn't have 1,200 yards again? He's only getting 995. Why is Roma Dunze getting all the touches? Is it because he's a rookie and his buddies with Caleb Williams? These are questions that come up in an NFL season, and these are things that they're going to have to iron out. The beauty of Roma Dunze, though, is I think that they will feel the flexibility to use him in different spots. Don't make the offense so difficult to grasp schematically that you can't take a rookie and say, you're in the slot here, you're going to play outside on that down, and you move him around as best you can. I think NFL teams use three wides a lot. And three wides with Cole Kmet, maybe both your tight ends, I don't know what the configuration will be. But Shane Waldron does have a luxury right now. The luxury is figuring out a way to keep everybody happy. That's something that every offensive coordinator should want to have to do or be tasked with. This is a great problem. I'm not worried about, you know, dissension. I'm not worried about all those things. Right now, it's all about appreciating what you have, because you've never had it like this before.
Yeah, great problem to have. Great luxury item. Focus is now on Shane Waldron. There's no doubt about that. And our guy, DJ Moore, I mean, he is the farthest thing from a wide receiver diva.
Right.
I mean, he just does not. I don't know Keenan Allen well enough. I think Keenan Allen is teetering on one of those give me the damn ball kind of wide receivers. I do think that he wants that. That's okay. And I think he can also, Roma Dunze can learn from these guys. And again, going back to, how about the fact that the four of these guys have already worked out together? They've already worked out together. That is
awesome. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, may they always have this kind of problem. honestly, it's a great group of receivers. That room is loaded. And I think that you don't want to know who's going to get the ball. It's the guy that makes the most clutch catches, whoever that might be. And the fact that they've got a guy like that all over the field. When the quarterback drops back, he doesn't have to look for one guy, because you've got three professional wide receivers that are really skilled and excellent players, and they all got yak to them. They all not only catch the ball. Watch Keenan Allen. You know, he's a first down waiting to happen. He comes out of the slot. He catches the ball. Then he turns upfield, and he gets you five extra yards. We know DJ can break any catch into a touchdown. He's built like that. And Odunze is a guy that powers for the ball and is going to get some yards after the catch, too. I'm telling you, they've got a really – this is as good a group of wide receivers as you're going to see in the league. Are they going to fight for the ball? Are they going to get enough attempts? That's down to the way the offense then is put together and whether they can keep getting first downs and keep moving the ball, and I think they're going to. I think this is an excellent problem to have, trying to figure out who's going to get the ball and how many times.
Because they got a quarterback that, who gets the ball? The open guy gets the ball.
That's the point. And I think in order to improve as a football team, this puts you over the top. This adds one more, and it gives you cover, and it gives you weaponry, and you still have two tight ends, not just one, and you still have a running back out of the backfield that can make a big play. I'm telling you, The weaponry here is laudable.
It's a good question.
When did the NFL draft throw its first curveball? What was the first move in the NFL draft that genuinely surprised you?
Well, I mean, we kind of talked about it, right? I don't know if it's even surprised. That was stunning. That was stop the draft. I got to get off when Atlanta took Michael Penix Jr. I mean, Atlanta paid through the nose for Kirk Cousins. And we were all wondering, oh, wow. And then all you heard is, well, they got to get a defensive player. They got a defensive-minded coach. You know, maybe that's where Murphy goes, get a guy inside that fits that scheme. No, they need an edge guy. Are they going to take Dallas Turner there? There was a lot of rumors and a lot of conflicting sort of information. I don't think anybody thought that they were going to take a player that doesn't contribute next year. And you know, listen, the old adage in the NFL has always been the same. You take a quarterback when you don't need one. Make sure you take a quarterback when you don't have to have one. And that, you know, look at the Green Bay Packers and that long line of succession that they've gone through. They've done that. And that's a great way to go about your business. It's just for a team in a division with a quarterback on effectively a two-year deal. You're paying through the nose for him. The guaranteed money is 2 years. You thought for sure that they were going to be trying to win the division and win right now, and instead they went a different direction. So will it work? Well, I mean, not for this quarterback, but maybe eventually it will work. It was crazy, man. That is some – that's not outside-the-box thinking. That's just sort of – they're in a different draft. They're a year ahead of themselves.
I mean, that was arguably the biggest, and it helped the Bears, obviously. I mean, we had talked about yesterday a little bit, like, should the Bears or will the Bears have to trade up a spot to make sure nobody jumps into that Atlanta spot to get Roman Dunze? And we talked about that. But I could go all the way back to the Patriots pick. Not that they picked quarterback. They obviously needed, but that, like, based on the fact that six quarterbacks went in the first round yesterday, right, that there wasn't more buzz for that particular quarterback. And this is also, like, a really bad situation. Like, I'm just saying, New England needs a lot of things.
But they might have traded out of that pick, Dustin, if the offer had been good.
Right.
What you heard earlier in the day is that nobody was giving them the kind of offer
that they were hoping to get. And what does that say about Drake May? Does that mean that people weren't in love with Drake May? And then we just move down a little bit more, that the New York Giants are sticking with their quarterback.
That was wild.
And they went with the wide receiver because J.J. McCarthy, he said he thought he was going to New York, that the Giants made him believe that he was going to be their selection. And then Neighbors goes ahead and goes there. That was wild. And I don't know what the Raiders are doing. They don't need another tight end. They took Myers last year, the kid from Notre Dame, in the second round early. You play in the AFC West, you got to stop somebody. It's a video game out
there. Look at the quarterbacks. Look at the quarterbacks they're facing.
That's what I mean. How
are you
stopping them?
Can they match up to them, though?
Right.
I mean, I thought for sure they'd make a move for a quarterback.
So you sign a 35-year-old quarterback and you guarantee him $100 million. You are announcing your intentions to win now. You have got to do everything else after you make that decision, if you're the Falcons and you sign Kirk Cousins, to win now, to give him a chance to succeed immediately. The Falcons didn't do that when they surprised everybody by drafting Michael Penix Jr. This wasn't outside the box. This was inside a fog. This was the dumbest move of the first round. And I think you could defend the Broncos going after Bo Nix. I think it was a reach. I think you could understand maybe the Bills trading twice and moving down and accumulating picks, even though I think they passed on a wide receiver they could have drafted, and they made the Chiefs better, which I don't think is a good idea in the AFC. But hands down, the curveball that was in the dirt and bouncing away from the catcher was thrown by the Atlanta Falcons, who now can add to the mix passing on Bill Belichick, signing a gimpy Kirk Cousins and guaranteeing him $100 million, and drafting the quarterback that nobody thought would go in the top 10. Congratulations, Atlanta Falcons. You have lost the draft.
If they had hired Bill, and he's not going to be a personnel guy, he said he was just going to coach the team. Do they make that move?
No. No, right?
No way.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
These are the questions I cannot answer, right?
All right, that's Olin Krutz. Olin's here at 8:25 this morning to react to the Bears, taking somebody from his alma mater, Washington. The University of Washington.
Yeah.
What did you make of an opening round of the NFL draft in relation to the Bears' opponents in the NFC North? Did the Bears close the gap on the Lions and the Packers? How about the Vikings? How would you rate the NFC North's drafts in order?
Well, that's a good question, especially after the first round. I think that, let's start from the back. The Packers drafting an offensive tackle, I think that's good for Jordan Love and on brand for Matt LaFleur, but I don't think that you're going to, I don't think you had a hard time sleeping because you were so excited in Green Bay because they went out and they got Jordan Morgan from Arizona. All right, that was the 25th pick of the draft. If you're the Lions, I don't think you slept at all in Detroit because you were partying. You were catching up with Aiden Hutchinson, whatever club he was at, and you were just excited because they also moved up. They made a good football decision last night. They move up to 24 and they get Terrion Arnold, a good, solid Alabama cornerback from a school and a program that produces good ones. But this is between the Vikings and the Bears, and the Vikings really replace Kirk Cousins and Danielle Hunter with J.J. McCarthy and Dallas Turner. And I think they did a very smart job. And I think they gave up what they needed to give up to kind of replace those two key spots with cheaper, younger, they won't say better because they're not better yet, but younger right. And cheaper options. But the Bears won the draft in the NFC North in the first round, what we know right now. The Bears put themselves in a position to close the gap on the Lions, to close the gap on the Packers, and to stay ahead of the Vikings. The Bears became a playoff team with the first-round draft picks, and that, to me, says they had the best draft of any NFC North team.
Bears had the best draft by far. They might have had the best draft of anybody. The Vikings are close. We're going to find out. I mean, I think for J.J. McCarthy, it's a great landing spot. Yeah. Compared to landing in New England with the Patriots, this is a great spot. You got Justin Jefferson.
Or the Giants.
Well, but I think that would have been a good show. I like Brian Daboll. I think Brian Daboll is a really good coach. I think that's a better spot than New England. But they arguably, the Vikings, got the best defensive play. I don't like with all due respect to Coach Dave Wannstedt, who's forgotten more about football than I'll ever know, even though I think I know a lot about football. But this Latu guy, who do you think he reminds me of? Okay. I mean, you're talking about another track athlete. I mean, when you're watching the highlights last night on NFL Network or the four-letter network or the three-letter network of Latu, because you're finally waiting for that defensive player to get picked, I mean, like, all his highlights, like, he never gets blocked.
Who does he remind you of? Tell me. I don't want to read your mind.
Come on.
I can't read your mind.
Leonard
Floyd? Hashtag anybody but Floyd. Leonard Floyd 2.0.
Like,
he's a track athlete.
That's a hard time.
Leonard Floyd probably play the run better. If Latu's out there, I run right at that guy and run him over.
He's a tough player, Dustin. I think you're giving him much.
No,
credit.
And he's hurt, and he's too surgery, and he's too Hollywood. Anyway, good luck.
Wow, that's crazy.
He's gonna love Indianapolis.
That guy's gonna work
you're
like a.
So wrong.
Yeah, you're wrong about him. At any rate, back to the question, which is, did the Bears? Where are the Bears in the? How did the division do? Better than I wanted them to. Let's put it that way, right? I think that, I'll go with the Packers in last place because I think Jordan Morgan, I think it's a good pick, The NFL draft is the dance of the elephants, right? Didn't George Young say that? You need to get building blocks, and they got one, and that'll help them moving forward. That's a good pick for them, especially with, you know, losing a really good player off their offensive line, an aging player that was done there in Bakhtiari, but you got a guy now that's a pretty good young player. We'll see. I don't know that he's the immediate impact. I think Detroit, they got themselves a starter to a defense that didn't really need a starter. And I think that kid, if I'm not mistaken, had some interceptions while at Alabama, and I think he can make some plays, and I think that really helps their back end. So congratulations to them. I thought the Vikings worked their tails off and did a hell of a job. Those are two really good players. To get a quarterback that a lot of people feel is like a real sleeper in this draft and a guy that you don't have to play immediately, a guy you can work with, you got good receivers, you got a new running back, you got a hell of a coach there. That guy's a good coach. He's going to work with them. And then your defense, think about how their defense played and how aggressive they had to be and how blitzing they had to be. And now, you know, Brian Flores gets a guy that he can line up.
How did he feels?
I think he feels like he hit a lot of.
And because of him, you feel like that's an even better pick.
Exactly. So I think that that's a really good thing. But the Bears won the draft. The Bears won it because they got the quarterback, the gift of a huge, tremendous deal, as it turns out, gives you your franchise quarterback. And then they got him a weapon, a great player who fell into their hands, a guy who's been compared with the likes of Devontae Adams and Keenan Allen, who they also have. And, of course, there was a reference to Fitz, which really excited me. I'm delighted with the draft the Bears had, and I think they won it, and they did so by just taking what the gods gifted them.
Can I ask you guys a question?
That's the voice of Stacey Dales. We hope to hear from her before 10 o'clock this morning. She's covering the Bears for the NFL Network up at Halas Hall. What team won the first round of the NFL draft, and what team or teams lost it or raised an eyebrow the most?
Well, I mean, the winner of the draft is the Bears because they got two premium players out of the top 10, and they didn't outthink it. They did a great job of just sitting there. You know, if Caleb Williams is as good as we hope him to be, listen, offense went crazy. Quarterbacks, people went crazy. They all went, and they all went early. It was crazy how quickly all of these quarterbacks were off the board, and the Bears had the first choice and arguably got the best one, so they should feel great about that. They got more weaponry, so they got the guy a lot of good things. They've already improved some of their protection in the offseason. We'll see how that works out. But, you know, we've been talking about it already, that you're talking about a team that that has the possibility of making the playoffs. That is the expectation now, that they're going to be that good. So we'll find out. Losers of the draft, there were a few different losers, I think, all the way around. I'm confounded by Buffalo. Stephon Diggs leaves. They let him go, and they don't replace him. And they let one of their greatest AFC opponents pick up the speedster that will make them better and make them harder to beat given their quarterback situation. I didn't get that at all. I didn't understand why they didn't want to get it. I mean, I guess they needed the night to see who's left and how they're going to approach it because they got the first pick of the second round, and that's a valuable one. Maybe someone wants to trade for that. It's a deep receiver class. There could be someone that they like that they're going to go for, but I thought that was insane. I didn't get that at all. There were a couple of really big-name guys available to them, and they didn't grab at it, and I was confused by it. And I just am still trying to figure out what Atlanta's thinking. I just don't get that. I mean, why go out and spend the money for Kirk Cousins if you feel, well, you know, this probably isn't going to work. We better cover ourselves.
Bears win, Raiders lose, Giants raise an eyebrow.
Bears won the draft. They had the best night of any team that drafted last night because they got two players that are going to be a big part of a playoff push immediately from day one. Both guys could be considered day one impact starters. I already said what I said about the Falcons. Ripping them again seems redundant. The Broncos, I'm not quite sure what they're thinking, and the Bills passed up a chance to get a wide receiver to replace Stephon Diggs. But there were a couple things that I did like in terms of sneaky good picks, and I'm going to go to the Colts. I'm going to go opposite Dustin, shocking, that when they take a chance on Latu, this is big bust or boom, but I think that he could be really good. And because he is athletic, and Latu is somebody who could be a specialist. If he stays healthy, that's going to be a steal. I think the Fashanu going to the Jets to protect Aaron Rodgers at 11 was a smart pick. Byron Murphy, 16, to the Seahawks. We talked a lot about him, thought that maybe the Bears could justify him at 9. That's a good value pick at 16. And then I think the Kansas City Chiefs, two-time defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, getting the fastest player in the draft, trading up to get him. The last time they traded up for a player was Patrick Mahomes. They know what they're doing there. Xavier Worthy from Texas, 21 years old. That was a sneaky good pick.
Colts. Boy,
that's a good
Colts
question.
Colts got their Dwight Freeney.
What?
Colts got their Dwight Freeney.
No shot. What did you make of the Cubs completing the sweep of the Astros with a 3-1 victory fueled by PCA's first MLB hit, a two-run game-winning home run? Was he your star of the game, or are you throwing some glory at the youngster Hayden Wisniewski? Great in another relief appearance.
Well, you know I love Wisniewski. I love the Wisnasty stuff is back, but this was PCA day. This was the day to celebrate. He'll always remember. We'll never forget. We'll never forget how he hit the ball out of the ballpark for his first major league hit, but we'll also never forget how it sounded because Zach Zaidman delivered. This guy, Zach, did a great job with PCA's first home run, and the Cubs, how in the world did they sweep the Astros? Belly's out. Suzuki's out. Steele's out. Everybody's out, except the Cubs keep winning. PCA day at Wrigley Field, that was a lot of fun.
That was quite a lot of fun, especially after the end of the show yesterday when I was getting beat up about PCA and my prediction on him from a while back. It was good that he got that out of the way. And, you know, the other thing that's interesting is how embraced he was by his teammates. You know, a lot of times you see where, like, they ignore – there's the old baseball tradition, like, you ignore it, his first hit, his first home run. I mean, the embrace – that he got from a couple of veterans really was cool, I thought. And, you know, he's a showman. Maybe a little too much flair, maybe a little too much bat flip or bat slam for me on that home run. But it does end up being the game winner, and the Cubs are moving in the right direction. And Hayden Wisniewski looked good, and I think that means that we're going to see David's guy starting Saturday afternoon or Saturday night out in Boston.
Who's that?
Ben Brown.
Okay.
They use Ben Brown.
How
they
did you give him Ben Brown?
I have a couple guys.
He's been Mr. Ben Brown.
No. Ben Brown. He's Cade Horton. We had this conversation. At the
I said
of the
year. Ben Brown has arrived.
You did say he had arrived after.
I know then, I have PCA. That's what I know. I
chastised me. He says, you say a lot of guys arrive.
Wow. Congratulations, Dustin. Congratulations. you're still going to wish Connor Bedard was your guy, and you're still going to wish that Caleb Williams finishes ahead of him. But PCA got it done yesterday, and it was great. And, Zach, I was listening to the radio, and that one was a phenomenal call. We'll play it for you. It was just great. I'm proud of Zach. He does a wonderful
That's
job.
That's a wow!
It was a wow, no question about it. And I got to tell you, great for PCA. It was wonderful. You know, Bellinger's down. So far, so good. We'll see. That's all I can say. 312-644-6767. The Extra Point is next. It's Mully. It's Haw at Chicago Sports Radio. 6-7 to score.
Well, my prediction is going to be PCA, Pete Crow Armstrong. So a Cubs outfielder will be the biggest star in Chicago by the year 2028.